This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فخلف من بعدهم خلف أضاعوا الصلاة واتبعوا الشهوات فسوف يلقون غيا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل صالحا فأولئك يدخلون الجنة ولا يظلمون شيئا صدق الله العظيم. So we concluded verse 58 in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrapped up the discussion of Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. And of course, their salient qualities and attributes were highlighted so that we could learn from it. We could take a cue, guidance, inspiration. And of course, we know the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final of all Allah's prophets. مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ مِنْ قَبْلِي كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ بَنَى بَيْتًا فَأَجْمَلَهُ وَأَحْسَنَ إِلَّا مَوْضِعَ لَبِنَهُ فِي زَاوِيَةٍ. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my example and the example of those who preceded me is like a person who built a house and he completed the house and people started walking around and they were impressed by the structure, the architecture, the design. However, there was one brick short in a corner, illa mawdi'a labina fi zawiya. And people said, why hasn't the house been concluded? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I am that final brick to complete and conclude and complement the house of Nabuwat. So what was the common quality of all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam? They would fall in prostration before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they would weep. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prayer was long and was amazing. When our mother Aisha radiallahu anha was asked regarding his nocturnal prayer and his tahajjud salah, then Aisha radiallahu anha said it was 8 units of prayer. La tas'al an husnihinna wa tulihinna. Don't ask me regarding the beauty of that prayer and the length of that prayer. There is a narration when he sallallahu alayhi wasallam went into sajda. It was when there was an eclipse, when there was a solar eclipse. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam engaged in such a prolonged prostration that the Sahaba said, we feared that perhaps he had passed on. We feared that perhaps he had passed on. Completely just consumed in that prayer and in that prostration with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إنه يراك حين تقوم وتقلبك في الساجدين إنه هو السميع العليم. Surely Allah is observing your qiyam and Allah is observing your prostration and Allah is observing you amongst those that worship. Now verse 59, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now switches the discussion from the noble and the pious to the wicked, from salih to talih, from virtuous to evil. So Allah says, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. The prophets were then succeeded by evil people. This again is the beauty of the Arabic language, and it's quite commonly known. So you have the word kha, lam, and fa, khalafa, to come at the back, to come thereafter, to be a successor. If it comes with sukoon of lam, then more than often it is used for aqibush shar, an evil successor. Though Ahlul Lugha say it could also be used for aqibul khair, for a noble successor. Commonly, primarily, it comes for an evil successor. And then if it comes, bi fathil lam, with the fatah, fa khalafa, as in, you know, with a fatah on the lam, then it comes for aqibul khair, a noble successor. How often you would see the father was a noble person, or the teacher was a great person, but the person who took the reins after the father, the son, or the student, or the disciple, unfortunately, he did not live up to it. فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ. So the galaxy of prophets were then succeeded by evil individuals. Now let's reflect here. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala identified and profiled these people as wicked, as evil successors, what was the first trait that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in their evil nature? أضاعوا الصلاة. They neglected prayer. They neglected prayer. The scholars have taken the word أضاعوا الصلاة in different forms. There were those amongst them who denied prayer. Of course, then they became disbelievers. There were those amongst them that did not deny the prayer, as in they accepted the obligation, the mandatory nature of prayer. However, they were lax in its performance. They were sluggish in its execution. They were lazy in the performance of ablution, etc. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ Woe be to those who pray salah. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ Those who are negligent with regards to their prayer. And the scholars say, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to mention, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ Those who are negligent in their prayer, then it wouldn't have spared any one of us. But nonetheless, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ Those who are negligent, سَهَا يَسْهُ سَهْوَنْ سَاهِنْ سَاهِيَانِ سَاهُونَ Those who are heedless, careless, negligent, irresponsible with regards to their prayer. Under the ayah in Tafsir al-Uthmani, it is written, they don't perform it on time, they do not take the necessary protocol of wudu, ablution. Just let's take our travel, just a quick reflection, and we come back to the topic of salah. When we're traveling, we always arrive in at the airport ahead of time. When we have a doctor's appointment, we always come in ahead of time. When we have an interview, we always go in ahead of time. Why is it for prayer, unfortunately, and I address the message to myself and not to anyone else, why is it that unfortunately we always are late? I'tuha wa antum tamshun wa la ta'tuha wa antum tas'un wa alaykum as-sakina ma adraktum fasallu wa ma fatakum fa'atimmu. We've been exhorted, al-ujlatu min ash-shaytan, that hastiness is from the devil. However, in certain instances, hastiness is from Allah. And one is ada'u salah, to offer the prayer at its right time. So I think it is important we take pride. Sometimes you stand up as a masbuq. Masbuq is the term that is used for a person who came late for prayer. You know, again, yeah, I marvel at the choice of words of the jurors. So if a person has unfortunately missed out some prayer and he has qada prayer and he needs to offset that qada, subhanallah, look at the choice of words of the jurors. They don't say babu qada il matrukat. They say babu qada il fawait. La ilaha illallah. The chapter on how you should offset prayers that you missed out on. So the scholars and the jurors avoid the term by saying the chapter of performing the prayer you have neglected. Because they say it is not becoming of a believer to neglect a prayer. It is not becoming of a believer to abandon a prayer. Yes, it is possible a believer overslept. Yes, it is possible a believer was in theater and hence he was unable to pray. A believer was on a flight and logistically it was a short flight. It was Maghrib. He simply couldn't find the time or make the wudu, etc. Whatever the dynamics may be. Babu qada'il fawait. This is mentioned in Nurul Ida in the Hashia under this chapter. And they do not say babu qada'il matrukat, the chapter on performing prayer that has been neglected. Because a believer does not or supposed to not neglect his prayer. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةِ Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, prayer is the most important thing. مَنْ أَقَامَهَا فَقَدْ أَقَامَ الدِّينَ The one who will establish prayer will surely establish deen. وَمَنْ ضَيَّعَهَا فَهُوَ لِمَا سِوَاهَا أَضْيَعَ And the one who's negligent with prayer, the chances are he will be all the more negligent with regards to the other aspects of salah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that after the Anbiya came evil successors, أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةَ They neglected prayer. They destroyed salah. And like I said, it includes all. If it is the one who denies it, then that would be a disbeliever for whom there's eternal doom and destruction. If it is a person who accepts its obligation but does not perform it, then he would also be guilty. If it is for a person who accepts it and performs it, but not with diligence, not with pride and passion, not with passion to execute it at its optimum level, then he also will be falling short. So we need to up our act in terms of our prayer. Adaa'u salah. I was saying sometimes a person is masbuq, and you stand up after the imam has completed his two salah, and then you recite in your thana and ta'awwud, and the person next to you or around you is in ruku, and you wonder, how was it possible for someone to complete his Fatiha and a surah so swiftly? I was doing some relief work in Lombok Island in Indonesia. And I remember we took a flight from Jakarta just 3-4 years back. We took a flight from Jakarta to Lombok. And it's an island where there are a lot of masajid. And we drove from our accommodation to the place, the epicenter of the quake. And it was a long drive. It was extreme in heat. And finally, we summit a hill. And when we summited the hill and I rotated my gaze, there was nothing but debris. There was nothing but rubble. And everything had just fallen and people were sitting outside. And as I rotated my gaze, you know, I had a flash of the quotation of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, كان يقلب كفه ويخاطب نفسه, that he would often turn his palm and address himself. And I looked around and I reflected over the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which he said, من فاتته صلاة, the one who missed one prayer, فَكَأَنَّمَا وُتِرَ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ, is as though he lost all his family and his belongings. And now I was literally, vividly, openly seen with my naked eye people who had lost their family and their belongings. And I said, subhanallah, this is the similarity the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam had given when a person misses prayer. My dad always says to me and my siblings that if you are unable to lament the missing of a prayer, then at least do not lament and cry and be remorseful over any material loss. That when you lose a material thing, sometimes you look around and a bill or a note is missing and you become so anxious and restless and uneasy. And yet, unfortunately, years has passed in our lives. تَمُرُّ سَاعَاتُ أَيَّامِ بِلَا نَدَمٍ وَلَا خَوْفٍ وَلَا بُكَاءٍ وَلَا حَزَنِي. The poet says, the weeks in my months, the months in my years, the years in my life are just moving away and I haven't found that bond and that rapport with my Creator, and it doesn't bother me in the least. Okay, أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةَ, they neglected prayer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me and all of us the ability to improve our prayer. Ameen. The second thing about these evil successes, وَاتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ, and they pursued their passions. They pursued their passions. In Bayan al-Quran, it is mentioned, قَرِينَةُ الْمَقَامِ, in the context of the siyaq and the sabaq, the ayah is suggestive of the fact that it refers to pursuing unlawful passions. So the ayah is not condemning lawful indulgence, permissible indulgence, because within reason the Sharia has allowed us. The Sharia has allowed us. Of course, the Sharia discourages us that even in permissible, we shouldn't go beyond the limit. But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying these evil successes, the thing that destroyed them was وَاتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ, they were following their unlawful passions and their desires. They were following their unlawful passions and desires. And once a person starts following his hawa and his evil desires, then such a person will become a fallout, not only spiritually, but even in material things, even in world. If a person is just, you know what, all the time just indulging, just merrymaking, just celebrating, just enjoying, then unfortunately there is little hope for him. In fact, I came across a very profound quotation in this regard in Tanwirul Adhan under the write-up here, where a person says that I had some visitors at home, and after they ate the meal and they were about to leave, I asked them for some advice. And mashallah, the pious, this is what they used to do. Probably we also ask people for advice. I know people ask me, and sometimes I find this very hilarious. Like, I will give a talk for 2 hours. Literally, this happened now just recently again. And after 2 hours, I'll get off the pulpit and then a brother will come to me. Mashallah, the talk was amazing. Can you give me some advice? I'm like, what was I doing for 2 hours? What was I doing for 2 hours? Like, really, this happened to me a week ago, and I, by Allah, I spoke for 2 hours. And mashallah, the audience was attentive, and the brothers, wow, that was amazing, subhanallah. But can you give me some advice? I just looked at him and I said, you know what? What do I tell this brother? I said, just practice what was said there. Just practice what was said. So sometimes it just becomes a habit, you know, give me some advice. But we don't process it. We don't digest it. We don't imbibe it. We don't internalize it. When Abu Hazim rahimahullah was asked, Zidna min maw'ivatik, why don't you give us more advice? He said, In kunta min ahli al-istijaba, faqad qultu laka ma fihi al-kifaya. If you are a person who heeds the advice, then sufficient has been conveyed. Adequate has been conveyed. And if you're a person who don't heed the advice, why must I keep on releasing my arrow when it's not hitting target? I keep on shooting and shooting, but I'm, you know, not hitting anywhere. Anyway, so this person asked the guest for some advice. So he gave the following advice. He said, "Man kathura nawmuhu fala yatma' fi riqqati qalbihi." If you are a person who sleeps a lot, then unfortunately you will be deprived of a soft heart. You will be deprived of tearing. You will be deprived of crying. In other words, one of the ill effects of sleeping a lot is, apart from laziness, sluggishness, lethargy, etc., you will not have a soft heart. And again, you can see there in Bayan al-Quran, under the ayah in Surah Ar-Rum, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَابْتِغَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ. Amongst the signs of Allah ta'ala is, that he gives you sleep by day and by night. وَالنَّوْمْ بِالنَّهَارِ مِمَّا عَوَّدَتْهُ الْعَرَبِ. And it's mentioned there in the Hasha of Jalalain that sleeping by day was a common practice amongst the Arabs. And even today, scientists will tell you and research will tell you the benefit of sleeping midday siesta. And Jalalain says that siesta is al-istiraha waqt al-dhahira wa in lam yakun ma'ahu nawmun. That even if you're not sleeping, just the practice of relaxing would also satisfy the requirement of siesta. So under this ayah it is written, in Bayan al-Quran, دَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ النَّوْمْ لِلْإِسْتِرَاحَ وَكَذَا طَلَبُ الْمَعَاشِ مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ لَا يُنَافِي الْكَمَالِ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ مِنْ مِنَنِهِ تَعَالَىٰ كَيْفَ يُنَافِي الْكَمَالِ وَإِنَّمَا يُنْهَى الْإِنْهِمَاكِ فِيهِمَا. That sleeping is fine. Someone is sleeping, don't tell him, hey, no, don't sleep. No, well, Allah is saying, it's my favor upon you that you can sleep. And I know my mom always says this here, and she has difficulty, and may Allah make it easy for her and those that have insomnia, because it's quite a challenging condition. So Allah is saying sleep is a ni'mah. Yes, وَإِنَّمَا يُنْهَى الْإِنْهِمَاكُ فِيهِمَا. Allah speaks about earning sustenance as his bounty. Both is his blessing, but do not go beyond limit. Do not go beyond moderation. So that's the first thing. وَمَنْ كَثُرَ أَكْلُهُ فَلَا يَطْمَعْ فِي قِيَامِ اللَّيْلِ. And the one who eats excessively and indulges too much, he will be deprived of standing in tahajjud. I just give a simple analogy. Maghrib Salah in the month of Ramadan, it's a light prayer. You enjoy that prayer. With the exception of Hufaz, of course, their Isha prayer will be light as well because you are leading Salah. But if a person overeats in his after Maghrib, you know, in Iftar, you will find how difficult the Taraweeh prayer becomes. Whenever people ask me for an advice regarding Umrah, I say, do your Umrah on a hungry stomach. Your Umrah will be amazing and your crying will be amazing and your spirit will be amazing. But when you overeat, the prayer becomes difficult. The dua becomes difficult. The tearing becomes difficult. Furthermore, وَمَنْ اِخْتَارَ صُحْبَةَ ظَالِمٍ فَلَا يَطْمَعْ فِي إِسْتِقَامَةِ دِينِهِ. The one who associates himself with a tyrant, inevitably, this will bring a negative spin on the safety of his faith. It will compromise your faith. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Do not incline, associate and assimilate with the tyrant, lest you are gripped by the torment that will grip them. وَمَنْ كَانَ الْكِذْبُ عَادَتَهُ وَمَنْ كَانَ الْكِذْبُ عَادَتَهُ فَلَا يَتْمَعْ فِي أَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا مَعَ الْإِيمَانِ. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. This is scary. And the one who's made lies his habit, then there is fear he will leave this world without iman. Just a habitual liar, just lying. One of the evil traits of Walid bin Mughira, Allah makes mention in Surah An-Nun, فَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ. Just swearing an oath. Every قَسَّمْ وَاللَّهِ قَسَّمْ قَسَّمْ وَاللَّهِ وَاللَّهِ. Some people just have the habit of swearing an oath. Hallaf has been mentioned in the context of evil of Walid bin Mughira, constantly speaking, taking an oath. So the one whose habit is to lie all the time, there is fear he will be deprived of iman. وَمَنْ كَثُرَ إِخْتِلَاطُهُ بِالنَّاسِ فَلَا يَطْمَعْ فِي حَلَاوَةِ الْعِبَادَةِ. And the one who interacts with people more than necessity, he's just sitting, he's just socializing, he's just chilling, he's just with this one and that one, he doesn't have some time to himself and reflection and introspection, then he will be deprived of the sweetness of iman. And last but not least, وَمَنْ طَلَبَ رِضَ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَطْمَعْ فِي رِضَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. If you're out to please people, then forget about winning the accolade of pleasing Allah. Because your aim ought to be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while pleasing Allah, if humans are pleased in the process, good luck. But I am motivated by the pleasure of Allah. Okay, we didn't do much of the ayah. We will continue with this verse here. In essence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the evil successors, the first thing that made them wicked was adha'u salah, they neglected prayer. Number two, wattaba'u shahawati, they followed their passions. And we made a distinction, it was following the unlawful passions. However, we also qualified the statement by saying that even in the permissible things, let it be with reason, measure, and moderation. Now in the latter portion of the same verse, that is verse 59, Allah speaks about the consequences of these people who neglected prayer and followed their base desires. Wait and see what the warning that Allah sounds. May Allah make us amongst those who establish prayer in a manner that is pleasing to Him. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.